already, everyone. It's been a really busy last half of the week. We've had OCIs, which are on-campus interviews, for the past few days. And so ultimately, just as I've been going through a couple of these interviews for summer jobs, I've been really busy as far as trying to keep up with the outlines and things like that. I have a few more interviews next week, and so I'm going to do my best to stay on top of things. But first, we have property, and in property, we finally finished yesterday our talks about the concept. Well, not yesterday, but our last lecture before this episode, we talked about our concept of property, finished up all the rights in the bundle of sticks, and now we're moving on to adverse possession. So adverse possession just refers to somebody's ability to possess the land after they've lived on it for a long time and it's undisputed. Ultimately, let me just say this again. Adverse possession is when you live on a land for a certain period of time, nobody disputes your ownership, and as a result, you can claim ownership of that land. So, for example, if person A is living on person B's land for 10 years and person B doesn't say anything to person A about it being B's land, well, then person A could be entitled to actually owning that land. And so adverse possession has five common law elements that we typically need to follow. The first is that the person needs to be possessing the land, actually possessing. The possession needs to be exclusive. Possession needs to be open and notorious. The possession needs to be adverse and hostile. And fifth, it needs to be continuous for the statutory period of time. And each state is different for that statutory period of time. It could be 10 years, it could be 15, 20, 25. And it tends to range somewhere between 10 to 20 years. So we have three cases that really outline these elements and give us a bit of understanding. We have Gerwitz versus Knatzer, which is there's some property that was split between the road. Person on the east side of the road didn't know that some of the property on the west was his, and the person on the west didn't know either way, so he just adopted the property as if it was his. But anyways, let's just run through each of these elements real quick. We have actual possession, and what that just means is that you need to be possessing it, and you need to be possessing it in a way that is actually with the nature of the land. In this case, it was a wild land, so minimal care is required. And you don't need to possess the entirety of the land. You just need to have sufficient possession. It's exclusive. This just means that the person on the land is the only person using the land, and anybody else is getting permission from the adverse owner. It's open and notorious, which just means that the person, everybody knows that it's this individual's land. He's not trying to hide it, or they're not trying to hide it. They are making it well known so that if the actual owner did a reasonable search, they would discover that they were the owner and that the other person was there and that they could kick them off the land. Fourth, it needs to be continuous. And this just means that it needs to be used continually for its purpose. So for a while, continuous doesn't have to be a ton. It just needs to be enough. And then you have adverse or hostile. And this just means that you're doing it without the permission of the actual owner. So that's how the elements work there. But a couple of states have a different requirement as well. And they add on additional elements to actually show adverse possession. And we see this in Van Valkenburgh versus Lutz, where they have all the regular common law rules, but then you also have to show substantial enclosure, and that's just property boundaries. Either it's fenced in, and then you need to show that it was cultivated and improved in some way. And there's a lot of dispute on what is actually determined cultivated and improved, and that's just ultimately going to come down to what the court thinks is cultivated and improved. The majority in this case said that it wasn't cultivated and improved because it was just a little shabby shack that they had put onto the extra land, and There was trash on the land, and so ultimately it wasn't really that cultivated. That's what the majority says, and the dissent disagrees, saying it was cultivated because they would use it for gardening land, which they would end up selling produce to neighbors, and so on and so forth. Then we have a final case, which is Fulkerson versus Van Buren, and this goes into the state of mind that the adverse possessor must have. I didn't actually get to hear this part of the case because of OCIs, but Van Buren, what happened here is that he was a pastor and he found this church on the land, and him and his congregation ended up moving into the church on the land, and Fulkerson, and they used it for a long time. Eventually they learned that they weren't owners of the land, and Fulkerson was the owner, and so they went to petition him for title of the land, which Fulkerson refused. And so it's really a question of, do you have to be there with good faith, meaning you don't believe that the land is yours? And this goes into the fifth element of the hostile and adverse possession. But it's really, does it have to be good faith, bad faith, or no? It just neutral. And most courts go with neutral, but some courts require bad faith, and other courts require good faith. And they say here that because Van Buren ended up recognizing that Fulkerson did have title of the land, it wasn't underneath adverse possession. Again, there is a dissent here that says, well, even though he knew that Fulkerson had title, they refused to leave until the court actually evicted them. And as a result, the possession was adverse. They were there without permission. So that is our overview of adverse possession. There's still a lot more for us to cover, but that'll at least get us started in preparing for continued discussions next week. Have a good one. Bye. Thank you for listening to this episode of The Law Schoolers. Before I let you go, there are four things I want to say. The first thing is, if you enjoyed these episodes and if you enjoyed the website, I would invite you to go and join Law Schoolers Pro. And you can do that by going to lawschoolers.com/join. It's a way for you to support us, but there's also a lot of features there that I think you will enjoy. Second thing is that nearly all of our episodes are unedited. The only ones that aren't are pre-law materials. And the reason for that is so you can actually see the legal material in its raw form as I'm learning it as well. The third thing is that the information contained in these episodes are specifically only for educational purposes. They're not to be used as legal advice. And with that, the fourth thing is, if it is used as legal advice, we are not liable. That is, Law Schoolers is not liable for any legal outcomes. Thank you again for enjoying the show. Have a good one.